You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
We got our butts kicked, so the move's not great. But obviously, our guys are still together. Again, like I said before, I'm going to be open and honest with them about what transpired, but also moving forward. And we got enough of the right guys in the locker room from a leadership standpoint to get back to work. So after today, we'll hop back on the plane and put all the focus on Minnesota.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That was Thomas Brown, Bears interim head coach, after a 38-13 loss to the 49ers today. You're the star of this show at 312-644-6767. If you're just too embarrassed to call, like somebody told Tyler off the air before the break, you can send an anonymous text. You know, if you don't want to call, you can just text anonymous Bears fan at 312-644-6767. And we'll hear more from Thomas Brown, his thoughts after that loss, coming up a little later on this hour. And I spent much of the first hour talking about the players. And I think that they deserved at least an hour of wearing this thing. And by the way, it's going to be a lot more than an hour because it's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on 670 The Score. And we got a lot more lined up for you, including on the morning show with Mully and Haw, Olin Cruz at 7, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs at 9. On the midday show with Bernstein and Harris, Anthony Heron, Dan Wiederer, Kurt Warner. We'll join the Spiegel and Holmes show in the afternoon along with Mark Grody and Jalen Johnson at 5 o'clock. So stay tuned all day right here on 670 The Score. But I think they deserved at least an hour of wearing that one and taking the blame for that one. But I think we all know, and the caller, Kevin, before the break, great call. He touched on a lot of this stuff when we're talking about the Bears and how high up it goes, or if maybe how deep down the roots of failure and ineptitude and incompetence, how deep they go. Because I think a lot of us were maybe looking at this roster, and tell me if I'm wrong, at 312-644-6767. A lot of us were looking at this roster and going, man, it's there. It's there. I see it. It's there. With the exception of a few spots, it's there. And they just don't have the coaching to bring it out. Like, we look at their wide receiver core. We look at Caleb Williams. We even look at, while DeAndre Swift is not Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry or Josh Johnson or Aaron Jones, other running backs that change teams this offseason, we even look at a DeAndre Swift and we go, man, that guy can do some things. In the right offense, that guy can do some things. And we look all over the defense and where Ryan Poles put in so many resources, and we go, there is something there. And for as good as the defense started, it's been a quick slide since the Hail Mary. I went over some of those numbers before the break with a texter who said that we were too hard on Matt Eberflus and he actually had the defense chugging along pretty good. Well, no, you didn't. They were 29th in yards per game against the run this year. 29th. So we look at this and we go, there's something there talent-wise. We see big, strong men who can run fast and jump high and catch footballs and tackle and do all the things. And we were all going, it's just, this is mostly coaching. This can be fixed mostly through coaching. No, it can't. And I know that they don't have their coach there yet, unless Thomas Brown really impresses in the next four games and the interview process. I know they don't have the coaching there yet that, you know, we all want to see him get. But this goes back to what I said in the first hour about these players. You can run all the 40s, do all the vertical tests and the shuttle tests and measure them in their underwear. You can do all that stuff, man. And they can put stuff on tape that pops and makes you go, ooh. But part of the evaluation process, part of getting guys in the door is finding out who these guys are, finding out what they're made of, what kind of cloth they're cut from. And based on what I saw today from a football team that just didn't show up after their head coach was fired 10 days ago, I don't know that Ryan Poles and his staff did their due diligence in finding out what kind of dudes these are. How much pride do you have? How much fight do you have? How much compete do you have? Now, that's besides the fact that you can't seem to find an offensive lineman. Like, there are personnel moves that Ryan Poles has made that also have led to where they are today. Caleb Williams, 56 sacks this season, are the most for any Chicago quarterback through 13 weeks since the 1970 AFL-NFL merger. So there are definitely holes on this roster that Ryan Poles needs to wear. Guys that he's let go, David Montgomery, Darnell Mooney, guys that he's brought in, Chase Claypool, Coleman Shelton, everybody else on the offensive line. But man, how much did we hear about culture? How much did we hear about culture with this football team? And culture, that's got to start above the head coach. Matt Eberflus deserves some of the blame for not setting a culture. But that's got to be set above the head coach's head, especially a first-time head coach and an incompetent head coach as Matt Eberflus was. Culture starts by getting the right guys in the door, by demanding the right things, by looking for the right traits in the coaches that you hire, in the players when you're scouting them and drafting them or signing them or trading for them or whatever the case might be. And the culture is not there. This team does not have fight. This team does not have pride. This team does not have competitive spirit. And I think those are things that Ryan Poles has either just missed in his scouting process, or maybe these guys had it and they've just been around the Bears too long. Losing rubs off on you, man. And this was one of the things I was saying about why they should fire Matt Eberflus sooner. Losing becomes habitual. The bad habits that lead to losing become habitual. And those are things that are hard to shake. That's not something that another head coach is necessarily going to come in here and be able to fix. A lot of these guys might have some stink on them that you just can't wash off. Whether it's because they came in the door that way, as no other way to put it, as losers, or whether they've just been in the Bears too long and all the loser rubbed off on them. But that caller, it was Kevin, right? Right, Tyler? I'm terrible with names, man.
Frank,
I'm sorry. Sorry, Frank. It took me three times doing a show with you to remember your name, Tyler. I'm just going to go ahead and confess. I'm terrible with names, all right? I write it down in my notes. I write your name down in my notes just so I don't confuse you with Sean Sears or Robbie Triano. All right, I'll admit it. I'm bad with names.
That's all right. And also, I'm not the only Tyler here.
Okay. So yeah, that's true.
Yes.
That is true. But so it was Kevin? Frank. It was Frank. Okay. Why do I keep saying Kevin? Frank. Oh, because I have a Kevin on hold right here. I keep seeing that name out of the side of my eye, and it's like it's getting in my brain. But Frank talked about like how nice the Bears are, the nice guys throughout the organization, and how they want to hire family men and this and that and the other. And man, that's great. And I don't even know if what I'm about to say is a knock on the Bears as an organization or if this is a good thing. All right, that's up for you to decide. But I have a friend, a former coworker, who played for the Green Bay Packers. He has a son who worked for the Chicago Bears. Are we following along now? So he has intricate knowledge of how both these organizations run. And I'll never forget, one day he told me what the difference is between the Bears and the Packers and the way that they run. Big picture, up high. Not down on the field, up high the way that they run. If you work for the Chicago Bears, they are very family friendly. And they're very concerned that you have a balanced life. Like people within the Bears organization will look at a coach or look at a player and go, "Hey man, what are you still doing here? It's after hours. Punch out. Go see your wife. Go see your kids. Get out of here." You know what I mean? Get a little something other than football in your life. At Lambeau, it's all football, man. It's all football. They're not going to tell anybody, go home, it's late. They're not going to tell anybody, don't come in, it's too early. They are all football up there. That's, and again, as an employee, I prefer the former, all right? I like a boss who understands that I'm a human being, I'm a person, I need balance in my life, I need things outside of work that fulfill me, that make me happy. And when a boss does that, when a boss pats you on the back and goes, "You know what? You've worked enough. Go home. Go see your fiance. Go see your dog. Go watch a movie. Go do something that's not this." You know what I mean? As an employee, I love that. But do we think possibly that those two differences in the way that these organizations run maybe trickles down? That the Packers hire psychos who care about football before anything else, who are willing to sacrifice their personal life to win football games. It is football, 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 family in Green Bay. With the Bears, it's like, yeah, football's your job, but go live a life. Go get out there. Go do something. You know what I mean? And you look at the type of guys that they hire for GMs, for coaches, for assistant coaches, and you can see it. You can see it.
Matt Eberflus is a perfect example. Yes. For watching Hard Knocks.
Yes.
We kept hearing how much of a family man he was.
Oh, what a great dad. And that's great. That's real important. That's why I always say I like Matt Eberflus, the man.
100%.
He's a good man. From everything I know, Matt Eberflus, good man. But I don't know that football is first for him. And I don't know that football is first for Ryan Poles. And I don't know that football is first for the Bears as an organization, the way that it is for some other organizations.
Meaning what?
You know what I mean. And again, that comes from somebody with intimate knowledge of how these two organizations work. The Bears are like, "Get out of here. Go see your family." The Packers are like, "Oh, you're still here? You're still here studying tape? You're still here in the weight room? You're still getting extra reps in? Great. Awesome. Stay here till tomorrow morning. I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Stay as long as you want.
Does not matter. I could care less.
Work as hard as you want. We're not going to tell you to go. We're not going to tell you you're working too hard or you don't have enough balance in your life. It is football, football, football. Where with the Bears, it's like, and I think Frank, I got it that time. Frank, like, he brought up a good point in terms of where we saw that, and that was in Hard Knocks. When they're like, we can't swear. We can't swear. We have to... Dude, it's... Remember what Thomas Brown said to in his introductory press conference? It's a violent game that rewards the most violent people. There is a level of intensity to playing football that you don't get in other sports. That comes out in ways that maybe aren't so family friendly sometimes. From the violence to the language to the intensity. Guys have to act in football in ways we can't act in our everyday lives. And almost have to get that level of performance that we see from these other teams. Again, I'm just telling you what I know, what I've heard. That the Packers as an organization put football first. The Bears as an organization put like family and being nice and good people first. That's not a knock. I'm just telling you what I know. And again, as an employee, prefer the former. As a fan, I prefer the latter. And I think it takes that to succeed in the NFL. And it's not a coincidence that those teams have culture. And the Bears don't. At least not a winning football culture. Do you have a question?
No. Just like hearing you say all this, do you really think that the Bears upper management understands how passionate and how much we want them to get this right? Like, you're going off of all these tangents on how they're not hiring the right people because they're not, I guess, maniacs enough. Are they truly listening to us, and do they truly know that this is not, we don't want another Matt Eberflus.
No.
We don't want another Mark Trestman, Matt Nagy, you name it.
No.
We want a Mike Vrabel. We want a tough, hard-nosed guy who's going to get the most out of this football team and win this city over. These guys aren't winning the city over.
No, I don't think that if they did, they wouldn't have hired Mark Trestman and John Fox and Matt Nagy and
Matt
Eberflus.
When will they ever understand
that? I don't know because of what Frank said, which is, and man, I know. I think it was Lawrence who I just heard earlier in the week saying it's almost pointless to bring this up. But it starts with the McCaskies. It starts with the McCaskies. And when they hire Bill Polian or they hire Ernie Accorsi, these guys, yes, are coming to them and telling them what kind of football coaches these guys are. But I also think that they get a personality profile on these guys. And are they nice? Are they wholesome? Are they Christian? Are they family men? And then let's get into the football of it. Put football first. And man, I'm not saying that other stuff doesn't matter. I'm not saying both can't exist. Just put football first. Don't be afraid of a big, strong personality in your building. I think they might be a little bit scarred from the Ditka days of like, we can't have another guy like that who is the face and the personality and the ambassador of Bears football to the world. He was just too harsh. And that's not what we're trying to put out there. Screw that. Get a guy in here who is a big, strong personality, who might say a few curse words. Oh my God, he might say a few curse words.
Heaven forbid.
A guy who's a psycho and is going to sleep in his office at night. You know what I mean? Get me one of those guys in the building. This is not culture. And Ryan Poles has done a lot to overhaul this roster in terms of talent. I don't think he's done a lot to overhaul this team and this organization in terms of culture. Because even the guys that are big and strong and can run fast and jump high and catch footballs, tackle, do all the things that we ask him to do, they're not competitors. They showed us that today. If there was any doubt in your mind about the competitive spirit or level of this football team, that should have been erased today. And that goes to the character and the culture of these guys. That goes beyond just a bad head coach hiring. That goes to the character and the culture of these football players that Ryan Poles has assembled. He has to wear it. Kevin Warren has to wear it. The McCaskies have to wear it. And I said the first hour would be dedicated to the players wearing that pitiful performance that we saw out west yesterday. But this all starts with not having a culture. After telling us all offseason and all through Hard Knocks how proud you were of the culture you were building. If you had a good culture, it could survive a bad head coach hire. If you had a good culture, you'd have the right guys in that locker room to stand up and say, hey guys, these last five games are on us. We don't have Matt Eberflus to blame anymore. That's culture. That's what you call culture and leadership. Guys standing up in that locker room after a rough start, after a six-game losing streak, after your coach gets fired and going, it's time for us to show up. It's time for us to show a little pride and a little bit of competitive spirit. And if you don't have that in your locker room to at least come out and be competitive today, dude, this was the worst loss they've had since New England. Maybe the worst loss that they've had all season. After you fired your coach 10 days ago, because not one guy stood up in that locker room and said, we have to be better than what we've been because we got nobody to blame it on anymore. These five games are on us. I'm looking at you, you're looking at me, and we got to figure this thing out. And we got to at least put a respectable effort out there today. You didn't get that today. Not from one guy who put on a Bears uniform. You didn't get that today. That's a complete and total lack of culture, of leadership, whatever you want to call it. And that goes upstairs to Ryan Poles. That goes upstairs to Kevin Warren. That goes upstairs to the McCaskies. And the fact that this organization wants to be family friendly and nice before they want to be good at football. 312-644-6767. If you want to get in on the show, Tyler, I know I'm a couple minutes short of when I'm supposed to break. I want to get to these calls and I don't want to cut them short. I don't want somebody to get on here for 30 seconds and then I'm like, I got to go to a break. So you guys on hold and you girls on hold, you hang right there at 312-644-6767. If you're not on hold, get in line before these folks or drop me a line on the Score text line at 312-644-6767. Your thoughts after a 38-13 loss and how far up this thing goes. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Score overnights on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That's me. That's the show. That's who we're brought to you by. I got Tyler Farrengo on the other side of the glass. We are yet to hear from Thomas Brown, Caleb Williams. Oh, Kyle Shanahan was asked about the unsubstantiated rumors of the Bears trading for him or another coach. We'll hear all that. We'll also hear from Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley on the post-game show, their thoughts. I'm with you until 5 a.m., and you are the star of this show at 312-644-6767. First hour, I talked about how embarrassed these players should be. Before anything, before anyone, yes, there are bigger picture issues, but these players should be absolutely embarrassed for going out there as unprepared, as uncompetitive. I don't even know if that's a word. Non-competitive? I don't care. The Bears don't care. Why should I? Why should I try to get it right? It was embarrassing for those guys to go out there and react like that. But yeah, this goes much deeper. This goes to a word that Ryan Poles threw around a lot this offseason, and that's culture. For all the misses that he's had personnel-wise, even the guys that he's hit on haven't shown that competitive spirit, that dog in them. And that goes to scouting as much as 40s and shuttles and verticals and tape and everything else. Sit down with a guy and see, does he have that dog in him? And that's something that good GMs can do. They'll get a locker room full of guys, or at least enough guys in the locker room, that it'll spread throughout the rest of the locker room. And that is not the case with these Bears. 312-644-6767. To that effect, this text from the 630, Johnson, Sweat, Moore, Allen, and Komet are the highest paid players on the team. So where were they yesterday? Also, do you think any of them will make the Pro Bowl? Because I sure don't. Yeah, man. When you have that C on your chest and you have that 9 or 10 figure number on your contract as far as guaranteed money, yeah, it starts with you. When we talk about going out there and showing absolutely no effort, no competitive spirit, that starts with you. You're the guys that needed to stand up in the locker room and say something during the 10 days you had leading up to this game since your head coach got fired. 312-644-6767. Phil from Mount Prospect, you're on the score. What's up, Philip?
Good morning, Rami. Is this the reason why I didn't, you know, again, I don't want to make a lot of comments about the game. That would take till 5 in the morning. But one thing I wanted to bring up, I think Cliff Kingsbury would be a good fit for the Bears in some capacity, if not head coach, at least the offensive coordinator. He coached Caleb Williams his last year at USC. Mm-hmm. He's coaching Jaden Daniels, who's likely going to be rookie of the year this year, and he's got head coaching experience coaching Kyler Murray. They interviewed him for the OC job this year and somehow hired Shane Waldron over Cliff Kingsbury, which is, I you know, what were they thinking there? I mean, if you don't bring him in as the head coach, at least bring him in as the offensive coordinator, which they should have done in the first place. Their offense would be a lot better right now had they done that.
Phil, I agree with you on Hatch. I appreciate the call. They should have hired him as the offensive coordinator. Really, they should have hired anybody other than Shane Waldron. They should have hired me or Tyler before they hired Shane Waldron based on what I saw. But he's not coming here to be an offensive coordinator. You got to give him a bigger, better title. Like, maybe if you brought him in as offensive coordinator / assistant head coach, I don't know if that, and with like a nice pay raise, I don't know if that'd be enough. But yeah, he should have been the offensive coordinator, or Kubiak could have been the offensive coordinator. A number of guys who are running much better offenses that were hired this last offseason as offensive coordinators would have been a better choice than Shane Waldron. And Phil, it might make you happy to hear that according to The Athletic and their gambling expert from Bovada, now they don't have this posted officially, but according to The Athletic and their gambling expert from Bovada, he is the odds-on favorite to be the next Bears head coach at plus 250 unofficially. So if you want Cliff Kingsbury and that gambling expert from Bovada is right, talking to The Athletic, Phil, you might get your wish.
I personally wouldn't want Cliff. We know who he is as a head coach.
I was going to say, the flip side of that, he's a losing head coach in both college and football. Like, and not every great coordinator makes for a great head coach. And exhibit A, Matt Eberflus. Very good defensive coordinator. Not a head coach.
I was going to say, if we're just talking about in general, the first person that comes to my mind is Josh McDaniels. That is another great example.
He is the best example, maybe, of that. Yeah. This from the 574. That guy is so right. He texted while one of our callers was going off on Jalen Johnson. That guy is so right. Jalen Johnson sucks. He's only made the Pro Bowl once in 5 years, and incredibly, it was his contract year. Don't tell me he's been good because he's not even going to make the Pro Bowl. Several teams have over a dozen players in the Pro Bowl. Two interceptions? Eberflus should have decked him for screaming at him in front of everyone. Brown should have immediately talked to him and said if he ever did that to him, Jalen would end up in the hospital. He was losing his designation as a captain and wouldn't start this last game. You should have heard Olin talk about screaming at a head coach in front of everyone like that. It's a line that can't be crossed. That's Brian in Mishawaka. Was Olin talking about that on the post-game show, Tyler? Do you know? Is that part of the clip we're going to hear later from the post-game show?
No, I'm sure it's part of it because obviously we haven't heard from them since the Detroit game.
I don't. Jalen Johnson sucks it's a strong statement.
That's a strong statement.
I don't think he sucks. And like I said, before the last couple of weeks, he was at or near the top of the NFL in most PFF rankings. And that's opponent quarterback rate. That's in PFF grading. Like he was. And when you talk about the two interceptions, teams just weren't throwing his way. For most of this year. Still aren't throwing his... Well, today, the 49ers were throwing his way. Juwan Jennings was having a field day against Jalen Johnson today. Double J on double J crime is what we saw right there. But, yeah, you don't... Dude, Deion Sanders wins seasons where he didn't have a lot of interceptions. And no, I'm not comparing Jalen Johnson to Deion Sanders. Calm down. Don't drive your car off the highway. But when you're a lockdown cornerback, and especially... When you have a guy on the other side in Tariq Stevenson who's really having a down year, people are going to go the other way. They're not going to throw at you very much. I wouldn't rule out that Jalen Johnson is in the Pro Bowl this year or is All-Pro second or third team because he was that good before these last two games, and if he can turn it around and find that form again, he will be in those discussions. Now, as far as... the leadership aspect of it, as far as yelling at your head coach in front of the whole team. No, he hasn't been a good leader. And the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in everything that I've been saying in the last hour and 36 minutes since I came on these airwaves. That you came out and put a crap effort on the field. And Thomas Brown, yes, wears some of that. But you should not need a head coach to get your juices going heading into this game this week. This was probably the easiest game left on your schedule. When you look at how the Seahawks are playing, and I don't need to tell you how the rest of the division, Green Bay, Minnesota, and Detroit are playing, this 49ers team and the brand of football that they were playing coming into this game, probably the biggest patsy you had left on your schedule. The best chance you had at a win. They had been outscored by over 50 points in their last two games. They were down to their third running back. They were without their best pass rusher in Nick Bosa and their best pass protector in Trent Williams and without one of their best wide receivers in Brandon Ayuk. They had three touchdowns and one field goal on their first five possessions. They were like ill as a football team coming in. They were sick. They were frail. But they took a little dose of Bears, and they were feeling great. They perked right up. That was that tussin that they needed. They just needed a little Bears. You know what I mean? Feeling a lot better today. Oh, man. I was sick as a dog. I had a 104 fever. I could barely breathe. But I got a little bottle of Bears, and I took it. All is right in the world. All is good. I feel great today. I'm ready to run 10 miles. That's how bad it was. That's how bad this was. Caleb Williams has been sacked 56 times this season, man. 56 times. That's the most any quarterback since 1970.
Guaranteed four times a game.
Insane. Insane that you'd come out and perform like that today.
When they were showing stats of David Carr in terms of sack numbers, you know it's not good.
It's not a name you want to be attached to.
Not at all.
Let's go to the south side, or south suburbs, excuse me. And Kevin, you're on the score. What's up, Kev?
Hello. Hey. How y'all doing today?
Good.
This is what I got to say, because I hear this, you know, every week, every game that the Bears lost, whatever. The Bears are not a good team. From start to finish, they have not been a good team. They have not been a complete team. And yet, as you said, with the culture, this is the culture of the Bears, the culture of Chicago, the culture of seem to be everybody nowadays. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. What the Bears did this season was chose to get, quote, the generational quarterback. They chose not to build up their line of scrimmage with, you know, on the offensive line, especially maybe a couple on the defensive line, or maybe one stud on the defensive line. They got themselves a rookie quarterback. All that should have told everyone who was a Bears fan that this was a reset year. They weren't going to be as good as they were last year. Last year, they had a quarterback that was running all over the place. If the quarterback is your leading rusher, that means there's something wrong with your line. And yet, people keep saying how they're disappointed in the Bears. Why?
I'll tell you why, Kevin. And I'm not going to hang up on you. I'll tell you why, and then you tell me if I was stupid or not in expecting them to be better. And here's why. Yes, he's a rookie quarterback. Do you think Caleb Williams is a better quarterback than Justin Fields was last year?
I think that he is developing into that, and he will be better.
Okay.
But he's not.
So I think they upgraded at the quarterback position. He's a rookie, and we should expect some mistakes and some rookie moments, and we've certainly seen those. That fumble today was just dumb. Like that was just that, and that was one of those rookie moments, and we've seen those throughout the year. But I think you upgraded at quarterback. I think you upgraded at wide receiver twice in getting Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze. I think you upgraded at running back. It wasn't Saquon Barkley. It wasn't Josh Jacobs. It wasn't Derrick Henry. It wasn't even Aaron Jones. But you upgraded at running back. And with all that added on to a 7-win team, I did the math, Kevin, and I thought, well, we can add 2, maybe 3 wins to that, especially with kind of a weak schedule, especially on the first half. It was just a little math of, oh, they won 7 games last year. They have a weak schedule, and they made some upgrades. So I added 2 wins to last year. Is that crazy, Kevin, to have those types of expectations?
I would say if you had a decent offensive line, then no. But you knew coming in you had a weak offensive line. And when you have a weak offensive line, what you can get for your new great quarterback is a book on how the clouds look in the sky, because that's what he'll be experiencing.
I appreciate the call, Kevin. And I did say, Tyler can attest to this, I did say coming into the season, for all the excitement that I had about the Bears, 3 concerns that could tank the whole thing, that could bring the whole house of cards crumbling down. 1 was what you just brought up, Kevin, and that's the offensive line. 2 was, do they have an NFL head coach in Matt Eberflus? And 3 was, what do you have in Shane Waldron? I don't like Shane Waldron. I didn't know. I didn't see enough of Seattle for me to know what they were getting. So I had those 3 questions, and if those 3 questions weren't answered correctly, we could be where we are today. And that's exactly what happened. So yeah, maybe I wasn't putting enough stock in how bad or questionable or shaky the offensive line is. Maybe I didn't put enough stock into Matt Eberflus and how bad a head coach he was. I had no idea what they were getting in Shane Waldron and that it could be that bad. But I don't think the math that I or any other Bears fan was doing of, okay, 7 wins and you upgraded at X, Y, and Z positions, you should be able to attack. I don't think that math is crazy or a leap too far for Bears fans and their optimism coming into this season. Now, maybe playing the Super Bowl shuffle, maybe a leap too far from some any idiot sports talk host that might do that might play the Super Bowl shuffle because they got so excited. But I don't think most Bears fans, and even the ones who were playing the Super Bowl shuffle in more sane and down to earth moments, were getting that carried away.
I genuinely did not think putting them at 10 wins and having them sneak into the playoffs as the 7 seed was an unrealistic expectation for them.
I don't
especially
think so
after how they ended last year. The Packers lost stung, but they showed so much progress and resilience the end of this year. And like, you're right, again, the upgrades this offseason and with a better quarterback coming in his first year compared to a guy in his third season, no disrespect to Justin Fields, that's just how the situation is. I thought it was completely reasonable, and with other NFC teams taking a step back too.
Yep.
Did not see Minnesota doing what they were doing, but we were wrong.
I said before the year Minnesota, I don't know that I saw this coming, but I said before the year Minnesota might surprise some people, and that was because I knew they were a well-coached team. I've been a big Kevin O'Connell guy for since he got hired. This text from the 773, Rami, WTF, for those who don't know, that means, no, I can't say that. This Bears team is a disaster. I was fooled by the Walt Disney Bears in Hard Knocks, and the preseason polls said it was going to be hard to make this team. This team has no depth. That is a problem. And on the defensive line, on the offensive line, even in the secondary, like with Tyreek Stevenson kind of falling on his face this year, you didn't have a great plan B there. Yeah, that depth is an issue. And even in the areas where, again, this is what I talked about to start the hour, even in the areas where they have talent, they don't have leaders. They don't have tone setters and guys that are going to make sure that everybody is pulling in the same direction and is going to compete at a certain level. Let me get in one more call before we hear from Thomas Brown. It'll be Peter on the South Side. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Pete?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I love listening to you. You're so true on everything.
Thank you.
But our offensive line is hurt like Kmet. I'm so mad at him today. I thought if you would have caught that pass for the 2 points, would have kept the momentum going. It went right through his hands. And then the news people always interview him like he's the guy to go to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. I mean, he's well overpaid, and I think he should go. We need more guys like Dick Butkus or this is somebody to talk to in the room, you know.
Peter, I appreciate the call. Dick Butkus ain't walking through that door. And to quote the great Rick Pitino, Dick Butkus, well, it's not a direct quote. Dick Butkus ain't walking through that door. That ain't happening. And yeah, this team, it lacks that. It really, really does. And man, you got to say, and Cole Kmet, great with the media. Very, very good with the media. I'll even say his podcast is pretty good. Very good with the media. And there's a reason why guys in the business go and talk to him, because they know they're going to get good quotes. They're going to get thoughtful answers from that guy. He's probably been the most disappointing Bear this season. When you look at the contract, the hype, the tools, the potential, the talent, the guy that he as I'm talking about, that he displays, the guy that he is, Chicago dude, like, we want to love him, and we want him to succeed here. He's probably been the most disappointing Bear this season. And there's no way around that. This text from the 773, Bears are in trouble. Nothing we can do. Just be good fans and chill. Okay. All right. We'll just be good fans and chill. I'll just chill out, man. I'll just get seven losses in a row. Let me just chill out, dude. Yeah, they didn't show any fight whatsoever after they fired their head coach. Let's just all calm down, bro. No. No, that was an embarrassing performance. Let's hear what the head coach, interim head coach, has to say about a 38-13 loss out in San Francisco yesterday. Here's Thomas Brown.
All right, so hit injuries first. DeAndre Carter had a hamstring. Travis Homer had a head injury. We're going to continue to try to evaluate going forward. And I'll start with what I kind of addressed with the team. We got our butts kicked. There's no other way to say it. We always be straightforward, honest, and open about things that transpired. We got to do a better job of putting up a better game plan on both sides of the ball so we can execute better and obviously continue to challenge our guys to be at their best. Also encourage those guys and also demand that we still stay unified. It's a grown man's business. There is no lay down or quitting our football team, which I do love. We've got to do a better job of trying to find ways to start the games faster, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. I think we'll do a decent job at halftime of making adjustments, but get the ball rolling at the beginning of some games to be able to, kind of be able to build with the lead. But overall, I mean, not enough explosive on the offensive side of the ball and gave it way too many on defense. Questions?
You've been an offensive coach your career until this week.
Right.
What are you doing? What's your role when you see the defense struggling and you're down 21-0 in the first half?
Yeah, I mean, I still trust our defensive coaches. I still will kind of go back and watch the tape. I haven't watched it yet, so I don't want to make too many comments without having a chance to see it and grade the tape myself. But again, it's about all of us, you know, getting back to work, find a way to get solutions and put our guys in better plays, better spots to make plays.
You told us about your post-game message to them. Right. How did it seem like they're doing? What's the mood in the locker room? We know what it's been the last few weeks. What is it today?
Well, again, I mean, we got our butts kicked, so the move's not great. But obviously our guys are still together. Again, like I said before, I'm going to be open and honest with them about what transpired, but also moving forward. And we got enough of the right guys in the locker room from a leadership standpoint to get back to work. So after today, we'll hop back on the plane and put all the focus on Minnesota.
Thomas, I think it was in the second quarter, Eric Washington gathered the defense together. Did you hear that message that he delivered to them on the sideline?
I did not hear that message, no.
Thomas, how do you get your brain around the slow starts and how consistent they've been this season?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, if I had the answer, I would have already fixed it. But I think, again, just being able to understand how to sell ourselves into a game, be able to stay on the grass, convert on third downs, and you know, keep some drives going is going to be the biggest part of it. So, but we'll that'd be a point of emphasis for us moving forward.
There's a really long way to go before you guys cross the finish line of the season. How do you do your part to make sure that these guys understand that there's still four games left and there's a lot of football to get through?
Yeah, I mean, it's simple. I'm going to be the same guy every single day regardless of circumstances. So the message will be the same. My approach will be the same. And we'll find ways to get back to work and get better. Yeah, I mean, the goal always, I don't care what my role is, to win football games, right? We didn't win. So that's always going to be the focus and the point of emphasis. And I got to do a better job. Again, it always starts with me. So communicate better to the entire staff. Continue to try to find ways to demand more from our players so we can show up on game day and play the right way. We played a really good football team, and they kicked our butts.
The sacks on third down, what did you see on those plays? And then what did you think of Caleb's game overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think he fought his butt off like he always does. I think continue to try to find ways to get our guys open so we get the ball out on time. But also kind of going back to the slow starts. I mean, when you're behind and having to come back in games, you're kind of forced to have to drop back more, which obviously exposes you more to sacks.
Most coaches get months to get ready for their first game. For you, you know, you had a week.
Yeah.
So how are you doing as far as getting the operation leading up to the game and then on game day the way you want? And obviously you still have four more weeks to try to fine-tune that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the operation leading up to it was fine. I kept my same rhythm offensively. Obviously, there's more on my table when it comes to how I set schedules, communicating with the team multiple times a day. So that's obviously going to continue to be something I kind of work through in the future. But again, I don't make excuses. Whether I have a week or have 5 months, the goal is to win football games, and we didn't win. So that's going to be my only focus today and moving forward.
What did you think of Caleb today as far as just his kind of journey through the game?
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously the first time I've been on the grass, so having a chance to meet with him face-to-face kind of makes it a little bit different when it comes to that versus being in the box and being on the headset. But again, I think he's relatively always calm, cool, and collective, obviously super competitive. So again, there was no quit, no crying and complaining with him, which is I love and appreciate. And he's a super confident dude, so he's not rattled one bit. We've got to find ways to be better for us offensively.
Thomas, did you get an explanation on the fumble?
Yeah, I did. You know, rule change. I kind of argued that, but, you know, it is what it is.
What did they say? And you said rule change?
Just as far as the change of the tuck rule, and obviously it wasn't about his arm going forward when he tried to pull it back. It was more about how the ball came out of his hand. So they ruled it a fumble.
First half, I think it was 320-4 in total yardage. How do you wrap your brains around that? How lopsided that was?
I don't. We got a butt kick. Like I said, I just didn't stay on the grass offensively. Took a vert on third down. And obviously we just gave up too many explosives well on defense.
Thomas, in 18 days, you went from the passing game coordinator to the offensive coordinator to the interim head coach. At any point, has this felt like a lot now, especially with your first game as head coach in the books?
I mean, not really. I mean, I try to keep it from a small focus standpoint. I think the outside world puts a bigger emphasis on certain things, and I understand why, because the role is big. I'm not going to act like it's not. But my focus always stays on the job I've been asked to do, and I try to be the best at that.
Rome has been kind of in the shadow since the day you guys drafted him because of Caleb being there and the experienced receivers being there. What are you seeing from him? He had two touchdowns today, obviously, but what are you seeing from him now as he's getting toward the end of his rookie season? He's got the experience.
Yeah, I mean, Rome has been very consistent from day one. Like I've said before, I think as far as his approach to the game, he's super mature, does a really good job in meetings of taking notes, being detailed, doing exactly what we asked him to do. And I'm glad he showed up for us when we had an opportunity today.
I like that guy, man. I do. I liked him before the loss and everything I heard from him, everything I heard about him leading up to it. And I like what I heard after, at least as much as I can after a loss like that, liked what I heard from the guy who's currently the head coach in Thomas Brown. There were zero excuses. We got our butts kicked. We got to be better. It starts with me. He looks and sounds the role of head coach very well, you know, and I don't know what that means, what that amounts to, what it turns into or anything else, but I do like the way that he approached that post-game press conference. That being said, dude, just not good enough. Like from a coaching standpoint and having your team ready, from a motivated standpoint, from an X's and O's standpoint, from an execution standpoint, just not good enough. Just not good enough. And I found myself today watching that game, watching the way that Caleb Williams played for much of that game, and wondering if Thomas Brown should have been put in the position that he's been put in. Not by his own fault, and I'll explain what I mean by that right after this. You're listening to Rami Makhlouf. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank, and we'll be back right after this. You can get in on the show at 312-644-6767. Still to hear from Caleb Williams, a number of others, and you on the Score Overnight Show right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.